Please turn to John chapter 10, and you'll find John chapter 10 in page number 896 of the Black Pew Bible. John chapter 10, page number 896. And then we have memorized John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John 20, 30 and 31 are the key verses for the Gospel of John. And this is where John states his intent, his purpose statement. I have written these things for this reason. John 20, 30 and 31 say, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may know that, believe that Jesus is the Christ and that the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name." This is his purpose. This is his statement. And we've seen this in John 1 through 9. We have seen John's purpose come through. Now, the hard part with dealing with a small section of John on a weekly basis is that we miss the context. It would be awesome if we could come camp here for a week and I could preach the whole book of John at one time, but it doesn't work that way. And it's been several months since we looked at John chapter 9. But what you need to do is look at the last couple verses of John chapter 9, and we're going to do it in just a minute. The last couple verses of John chapter 9 and see John 9 and 10 are connected. As a matter of fact, John 8, 9, and 10 are connected. So although we've had a couple month break, this happens simultaneously. Chapter 9 flows right into chapter 10, and that really helps our understanding of the situation. Now, when you think of God, we know some of the Hebrew words Elohim, which means God and refers to the powerful creator God, Yahweh, who is the personal God, who desires a covenant relationship with people. We know Jehovah Jireh and other names for God. But when you think of God in other terminology, just think for a minute. How do you refer to God without using one of the names for God? For us, it would probably be the word Father. When we pray, many of us pray, "Dear Heavenly Father." And Father would probably be the most common term that we would use. But in the Old Testament, in the Jewish mind, it wasn't Father. It was Shepherd. Now, they lived in a very pastoral setting. Sheep were everywhere. Shepherds were everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere without seeing or hearing sheep. Their clothes were made from the wool. They ate the sheep. The sheep were part of their religious sacrifice, which was a pointing forward to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But in the Jewish mind, it's not Father, it's Shepherd. In Psalm 80, verse 1, David says, "Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." And who is this God? Who is this God who is a shepherd? He goes on to say, "You are enthroned upon the cherubim." This is the God of heaven, and they viewed the God of heaven as a shepherd to lead them and feed them and protect them. We see this in the prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. We see God as a shepherd. And so along this line, God intended for the human leaders of Israel to serve the nation as shepherds, leading the people, providing for the people, protecting the people. We see this in 1 Kings chapter 12. God desired for the kings to be a shepherd for the people. We see this in the prophets, Ezekiel, Amos, Zechariah. And as a matter of fact, Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 23 are a scathing rebuke of the leaders who did not shepherd the nation. He rebukes them for failing to protect Israel. He rebukes these shepherds for failing to feed Israel or heal Israel. Now, let's consider the New Testament. And we're going to look at Jesus' day, and we're going to limit ourselves, because we're in the Gospel of John, we're going to limit ourselves to the Gospel of John. And look, there were priests, there were rabbis, there were scribes. Some of them were Pharisees, others were Sadducees. There were these leaders in Israel, and God intended for them to shepherd the nation. But that's not what happened. Turn over a couple pages to John 5. I know we haven't gotten to our text yet. But in John chapter 5, we find Jesus healing the crippled man. So just think back in your memory to John chapter 5, this crippled man. You remember he was by the pool. Jesus heals him, tells him to get up and carry his mat. And it was the Sabbath day. And what are the leaders, what is the leader's response to this? Well, look at verse 18. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. The leaders became so angry with Jesus and rebuked the crippled man for carrying a mat on the Sabbath day when they should have been shepherding the people. John chapter 9, remember Jesus heals the blind man. And now this man has been healed and he gathers a crowd. Remember his neighbors and his family and the leaders gathered around him and they said, give an explanation for this. And he enters into an exchange with them. Jesus eventually comes in to this exchange. But notice their response to the blind man in verse 34, John 9:34. They, the religious leaders, answered him, the blind man, or formerly blind man, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And what do the shepherds do to the man who had been born blind? They cast him out. They cast him out. This is tragic. They should have been rejoicing with the crippled man. They should have been rejoicing with the blind man. These were the leaders. These were the shepherds. And God desired for these leaders to be shepherding Israel. And this brings us to John chapter 10. And we're going to read the first 18 verses. Will you join me in standing? Follow along as I begin reading. Jesus again, continuation from John chapter 9, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Open our hearts and minds to receive the truth of your word. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may your Holy Spirit do your good work in us. And for those who are without Christ, who do not know the Lord as their good shepherd, then Father, we pray that you will open their eyes of understanding. Help them to see Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and draw them to himself in salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at four things today, and the first one is the sheepfold. There are actually two different places that you would find a sheepfold in Israel. And if you just think of Walled Lake, and if you think about Walled Lake, somewhere around Walled Lake, they would have built a sheepfold. Now, this sheepfold would be made of rocks that they picked out of the wheat fields, the barley fields. They would pick these rocks, they would bring them to an agreed-upon location, and they would begin to pile these rocks in some sort of a circle, some shape. Whatever, didn't matter. They would pile the rocks up, and it would be somewhere near the village. It could even be in village limits. And we see this sometimes in the Old Testament. Abraham sends his servant to go get a wife for Isaac. And we see Jacob with his uncle. And we see some of this where there were sheep and they were coming into the well and so forth. They were gathered. And let's say that in the city or the village of Walled Lake that there are 10 flocks of sheep. So what would happen is we would take our flocks into the surrounding area during the day and we would bring them back to the village at night. And then what would happen is if there were 10 of us who were shepherds, 9 of us would go home to our home and 1 would stay with the sheep. Or they would hire someone to spend the night with the sheep. The sheep would go into the fold. There would be one door. Here we see gate. We see door, there's an opening, and in the village there would either be hired hands who would tend the flock at night while the shepherds went home, or one of the shepherds while the rest of the shepherds went home. Then you would go out to the wilderness, and sometimes they would take the sheep out into the wilderness, and this would be for weeks. And this is where we think of Psalm 23, David out in the wilderness with the sheep, sometimes for weeks, a month at a time, depending upon the rainy season, the time of year, and so forth. And what would happen out in the wilderness, they would make some of these pens as well. Same thing, from the fields, they would gather rocks, but sometimes sometimes they might find some sort of a natural barrier, a cliff along the mountain's edge where the sheep couldn't climb up and where wild animals couldn't get down. And then from that cliff, they would gather the rocks and they would build these walls around and make a pen for the sheep, and they would leave one opening. Just one opening. It was big enough for a man to lay in, and he became the door. He was the door. When all of the sheep were in the pen, he was in the door. Now, around these rock piles that made the fence, they would cultivate thorns. They would cultivate thorn bushes to grow up so that there would be thorns on top of the walls, so that a wild animal couldn't jump up on top of the wall and jump into the pen. Or so thieves couldn't climb over the wall. And so there are these two places that they have sheep pens or sheepfolds near the village where they all brought their sheep, and then out in the wilderness when they took the sheep out to the green pastures, these cool waters. Now, I Googled Scottish names for sheep. The number one Scottish name for sheep is Gemma. Number two is Gwyneth. The number one male sheep name is Curtis, then Rhett. But there are names like Woody the Woodpecker. There are a lot of human names that they give to sheep, but then there are names like Darkface, Broken Ear, all sorts of weird names. That would be because of genetics or an accident or just some person's name. And they have these names for the sheep. And what we have in these sheepfolds is we have a shepherd. And he comes. Now, for instance, the sheepfold that's in the village, we have 10 flocks of sheep. And in the morning, the shepherd would come, and he would come to the door, and the hired person or the person who had spent the night with the sheep would get out of the way, and the shepherd would probably have some sort of little whistle. And he would give this little whistle, or he would just begin calling names. And here's what would happen. Now, I want you to think about the month you were born in. And if you were born in an odd number month, when I whistle, I want you to look at me. And if you were born in an even number month, I want you to look over there. And this is what would happen. The shepherd would give his whistle, and his sheep would look. And the other sheep would turn away. Isn't that interesting? Because in Hebrews, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. See, we don't think of Hebrews, that phrase is used in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. We don't think of that as a sheep term. But if I came up to the pen and I gave my whistle or I began calling out names, my sheep would know my voice and they would look. But all of the other sheep would look away because they don't know me. So the shepherd would begin to call the names, and his sheep would get up and they would go to the gate. And then he would lead them, and he would lead them outside the village to wherever they were going to pasture that day. And they would all follow him. His sheep would follow him. The other sheep would stay. Now, look at verse 15. There's one opening, and Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. We have the advantage of being on this side of the cross. So we know Jesus is talking about his death. But every one of those Jewish people who would hear Jesus in John chapter 10 knew exactly what he was talking about when he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Because that shepherd, now when the sheep were in the village, they typically didn't have to worry about wild animals. They had to worry more about thieves. But that's why they had someone stay with the sheep at night. But when they were out in the wilderness, when the shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, he was putting himself in the door. Because of the thorns on top of the wall, the wild animals couldn't get in over the wall. They had to go through the door. But a hungry wild animal doesn't care about a shepherd. He just cares about his stomach. So when the shepherd lays down his life, he is the barrier between the thieves and the wild animals. That's the sheepfold. So now we come to the thieves, robbers, and we see this in verse 1 and verse 8. There's a difference between a thief and a robber. The thief is subtle. The thief waits for an opportunity when he can take and no one will see him. A robber, on the other hand, the terminology here is someone who takes by force. The robber doesn't care about the shepherd. The robber doesn't care if I have to inflict pain on the shepherd or even kill the shepherd. But I'm going to get the sheep. I'm going to get the sheep. And if I have to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep, that's fine with me. So you have subtle and you have physical violence. And that's the difference between a thief and a robber. Now, isn't it interesting? And I don't want to go too far with this because we don't want to spiritualize it. But isn't it interesting that they put a crown of thorns on his head? Now, the crown was for his kingship. But isn't it interesting, the thorns in significance with sheep? And isn't it interesting that he was crucified between two robbers? The violence was done to Jesus. They deserved what they got. Now, there are two other kinds of bad guys in John chapter 10. You have the thieves and the robbers, which are really one category, human, but we'll separate them there. The third group is the hired man. The hired man should be a good guy. The hired man should be a good guy. He should be a help. He should be a protector of the sheep. He should be someone who is looking out for the best interest of the sheep, but he's not. Because when the wild animal comes, the hired man runs. Now listen, those guys, you guys who were here on Wednesday night, when we talked about in Scripture, we don't see the word lead or leader a lot. We see it a few times, but the word we do see in Scripture is the word stand. And here with the hired man doesn't stand and defend the sheep. The hired man runs. He's afraid. He gets out of there. These sheep are not worth my life. Whether it's a human robber or a wild animal, I'm getting out of here. And so the hired man proves to be a bad guy. He is not a help. He's of no good to the sheep or to the shepherd. Now, I want to stop right here and say, look at verse 6. So far, we have the sheepfold and we have bad guys. Now, this conversation is a continuation of John chapter 9. And verse 6, the people didn't understand the figure of speech that Jesus was using to prove his point. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. They didn't understand that they were the sheep. They didn't understand who the religious leaders were. They didn't understand who Jesus is. Now, there's a fourth category of bad guys. It's the wolves. And in Scripture, we know David killed a lion and a bear. We have wolves and lions and bears, and we have Peter telling us to watch out for a roaring lion who seeks what it may devour. So the fourth category of bad guy is the wild animal. And so they put the thorns on top of the rock walls to protect against the wild animals. The shepherd carried a sling. The shepherd carried a staff, which was, don't think of some little cane, think of a tree trunk, a small tree trunk. So the shepherd could take that and swing it like a bat, to hit a bad guy, a thief or a robber. So he could use it to smack a wolf or a lion or whatever it is. And so we have David with his sling, and we have this shepherd who has this staff to protect the sheep from these wild animals. And look, verse 10 is steal, kill, destroy. Verse 12, the hired hand runs, the wolf snatches and scatters. And all four of these have at least one thing in common. The thieves, robbers, hired hands, and the wild animals. They have one thing in common, and that is themselves. They only think about themselves. They only care about themselves. The thieves, the robbers, they only want the sheep for their own good. The hired man is thinking only of himself. The wild animals are obviously only thinking of themselves and a free lunch. They're all consumed with themselves. Now, verse 6, they didn't understand. They didn't understand that their religious leaders were only concerned about themselves. They were only concerned about their own reputation. And as we go along in John's gospel, we're going to see this more and more. Remember, the Jews were concerned what the Romans would think if Jesus was allowed to do certain things. If Jesus was allowed to continue. They're only concerned about themselves. They don't care about the sheep. They don't care about the Lord. They only want what's good for them. And so as we look at verse 6, the question we have to ask ourselves is, do you understand? Do we understand? Do we understand the figure of speech that Jesus is using to teach us about ourselves, about religious leaders, about wild animals, whatever it is? Well, who are the sheep? Well, it's Israel. And who are supposed to be the shepherds? The religious leaders. But in fact, the religious leaders are bad guys. Look at chapter 9, verse 40. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains." These are the bad guys. They don't care about Israel. Look at chapter 8, verse 59. So they picked up stones to throw at him. These are the shepherds. The shepherds are finding stones so that they can kill Jesus. The ones who are supposed to protect. So that brings us to the third thing. We have the sheep pen, we have the bad guys, and now we have the shepherd of the sheep. Look at verse 2. He's the door, and we see this repeatedly. And I want you to think about this. Here we have this sheepfold. We have these stone walls, and we have one opening. And Jesus says, "I am the door." Okay, he's using this figure of speech. Everybody has this mental image of a sheepfold with one opening. And Jesus says, "I am the door." Now, mentally make the jump to chapter 14, verse 6. Because Jesus is saying, "I am the only way in and the only way out. It's through me," which is exactly what he says in John chapter 14, verse 6. "I am the way in, I am the way out." But he's also saying, "I am the door and I am the protection for the sheep." I am the protection for the sheep. That's what Jesus is saying. I am the door. I am the only thing between these sheep and the bad guys. Jesus says, I am the door. This is the shepherd. And in verses 3 and 4, he is the voice. He is the voice that the sheep are listening for. And when he speaks, some of the sheep look and some of the sheep turn away. So we have to understand now, in other places in the Bible, saved people and unsaved people are called sheep and goats. Here in John 10, all humanity are sheep. All humanity, Jesus is talking about here. But my sheep hear my voice. I am the leader, and they follow me. So we have to, verse 5, ask ourselves this question: who are you listening to? And I'm not talking about the sheep. I'm not talking about John chapter 10. I'm talking about today. Who are you listening to? I mean, there's a lot out there. And I just want to give you a current example. The eclipse. Combined with Harvey and Irma and Jose has brought out a lot of voices. A lot of voices. And you need to be careful about the voices and who you listen to. Because there are people out there who are saying some very crazy things that when you listen to what they say and you compare it with the scripture, it doesn't line up. And when you listen to what they say and compare it to scripture and it doesn't line up, you need to harden your heart to them and turn away from them and follow the word of God. Just because you find a book in the Christian bookstore does not mean it's a voice you should listen to. Just because there's a voice coming from a so-called church doesn't mean it's a voice you should listen to. And whether it's in the media, one form or another, electronic media, book, whatever it is, we need to be careful what we listen to. And we need to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. So, whose voice are you listening to? So, verse 6 is crucial. They didn't understand. And because they didn't understand, this is kind of interesting. Jesus repeats it, but he does expand it. It's kind of funny because it made me think of times when I've been in other countries and either speaking to someone or someone speaking to me. You know what we do when we speak in English and someone doesn't understand us, we speak louder and slower. Well, they do the same things. You know, it's kind of funny. Last time I was in Costa Rica, somebody starts speaking to me in Spanish and it's like, you know, duh, I don't know. So they slowed down and they went louder. It's like, ah, now I got it. I still have no clue what you mean, but thank you. So Jesus slows down, he repeats, but he expands it. So we see verse 7, the door again. But in verse 8, he is calling the religious leaders bad guys. Now, they're still not understanding it because they're blind. In verse 9, we have the door again. And this door is the door of salvation. But verse 9, and this is the danger again of us not looking at all of chapter 10. Because in verse 9, it looks like you can come in and out of salvation. But that's not what the Bible says. We will notice that next week in the second half of John chapter 10. But let me just point out verses 28 and 29. 28 and 29 are talking about the security that we have because we've been placed into the hand of God. And notice, the wolf snatches, But God says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. So verse 9 is not talking about us coming in and out of salvation. It's basically talking about our life. It's talking about the sheep who are coming in and out of the fold, going to the green pastures, going to the cool waters, going to other meadows, or here in the safety of the village. Verse 10 is talking about abundant life. And Jesus said, I've come that they might not just have life, but having abundantly, which means overflowing life or life to the full. Jesus doesn't preach here a health, wealth, and prosperity theology. Jesus is not saying that our life will be rosy. Jesus is not saying that your life won't be without problems. Because if that was the case, if you believed a health, wealth, prosperity theology, if you believed that your life would always be rosy, then you would have to come to the conclusion that all of our loved ones who are in Florida are unsaved. And that's not the case at all. But rather, the difference is, and this is what has been going through my mind this week. With loved ones in Florida, how is it that I can have an abundance of peace? Now, if I were in Florida, how is it that they can have an abundance of peace if they're Christians? How is it that God has intended for them to live life abundantly when the water starts rising? I mean, is God wrong? Is this not true? How can I have peace? Well, it's because of my eternal salvation. Ultimately, I have peace with God, and whatever's going on in the world, my soul is secure. I don't like these surroundings. But how can they have peace? Well, we could jump a lot of places, including Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is true, even when the water's rising. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit isn't just good when days are sunny. So how can we be characterized by peace? It's because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm not saying peace means don't work. Peace doesn't mean stop filling sandbags. Peace doesn't mean get up in the second story. I mean, there's wisdom there too. But how can we have peace in a storm? Well, Christ came that we might have an abundant life, and this is a life that's overflowing with grace and mercy and peace. Look at verse 11. I lay down my life for the sheep. The shepherd lays down in the door to protect the sheep. But notice what happens here also. He says, I am the good shepherd. Now, they understood the door. They understood the door. When Jesus said, I am the door, they understood that. But now it changes. Because when he says he is the good shepherd, he is declaring himself God. He declares himself to be God. This takes us all the way back to John chapter 5, verse 18. They wanted to kill him for this. He is claiming to be God. He is just using new, fresh terminology. He is claiming to be God. And verse 13, he speaks of his compassion. Verse 14 speaks of his knowledge of the sheep, his care for the sheep, his love for the sheep, his willingness to die for the sheep. And he restates his deity in verse 14. Verse 15, he lays down again. And we understand in the terminology that we know here, because we are on this side of the cross, we understand the terminology, I lay down my life and I take up my life again. We understand the death, burial of Jesus Christ. We also understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we are 2,000 years away from that. Jesus is just a couple of months. The crucifixion is just a couple of months away. The 12 don't get it, the crucifixion. Neither does anyone else when he says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. So there's a lot more here on the shepherd, but we need to move on to the sheep. Who are the sheep? Well, here in this passage is Israel so far. And the good sheep, verse 3, are the one who hears the shepherd's voice and follow him. You know, you have this sheep pen with all these sheep, and the good shepherd comes and he calls, and his sheep follow, which means some sheep don't. He's talking about all of humanity. And some sheep don't. And you know, we have sheep, religious sheep around us. We have religious sheep who go their own way. I don't need to follow him. I don't need to follow the Bible. We can find our own way. We know sheep. We know of sheep who say they don't need the sheepfold. They don't need the shepherd, they don't need the sheepfold, and they don't need other sheep. I mean, there are a lot of applications to this, and hopefully you're thinking through some of them. People who claim to be Christians but don't need the church. People who claim to be Christians but don't listen to the shepherd. I don't need his protection. I can protect myself. I don't need his leadership. I can find my own way. The sheep hear his voice, and the sheep follow. So verses 5 and 8, we have the true sheep following the true shepherd. Verse 14, the true sheep know the shepherd, just like the shepherd, Jesus, knows the Father. And then we get to verse 16, and verse 16 is incredible news for us, because we're not Jewish, most of us, maybe all of us, because we're not Jewish, verse 16 is us. Verse 16, this is Gentiles. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. This is Romans, this is Ephesians, this is Galatians. Dear friend, do you know the shepherd? Do you know the true shepherd? Does he know your name? Does he call you by name? Do you recognize his voice? Do you understand that you're a sinner? And by me saying that, I'm not calling you anything. I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior to deal with my sin. And he has. And so I ask you, do you know the shepherd? The one who has laid down his life for you? This brings us to verse 19. There was again, and that word again is very important. This isn't the first time. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, for those of you who are here, way back in John chapter 2 is the first time we saw this. But I want you to notice in these three verses, at the end of this passage in John 10, there are two responses to Jesus, and both of them are wrong. They're very different, but both of them are wrong. Some were saying he's demon-possessed, and some were saying, no, he's not demon-possessed. This makes some sense. But there's more to salvation than saying, no, he's not demon-possessed. There's more to it than this. And the point is, Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd and I am God. And in the shepherd illustration, Jesus is saying, my sheep know my voice, I know my sheep, and my sheep follow me. And these three verses, they're not following Jesus. Some are saying he's insane, some aren't. Hey, there are a lot of neutral responses to Jesus in the world today. There are some people who hate Jesus. Some of you know people who hate Jesus and hate you for being a Jesus follower. But there are a lot of people out there in the world who don't mind if you follow Jesus just as long as you don't tell them their way is wrong. Both of these responses are wrong. Now, the heat is really going to get turned up in the second half of this, and Lord willing, that's next Sunday.